This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. One Bills Live from the NFL Scouting Combine. We've been trying to get this guy on all week, and you know him. He is a former Buffalo Bill, second-round pick of the Bills in 94, played wide receiver, defensive back, kick return in the NFL, now an analyst for NFL.com and the NFL Network. Bucky Brooks, our guest. Thank you,
man.
Bucky.
Thanks for having me on. It's always good to be
good
back.
Good to see you,
and
man.
Let me apologize once again for our producer,
Jay. No. Jay's been dogging
you all week. Wide receiver group out there yesterday. Steve's complaining about how boring it was, and I'm inclined to agree, but what did you see? Who stood out for you last night?
You know, it's funny because, man, we put them in an adverse situation because asking these guys to run around and catch balls at 9, 10, 10:30 at night is not ideal. But, look, the notable suspects kind of stood out. So the guys at the top of the board, Jerry Jeudy, CeeDee Lamb, they stand out for different reasons. Jerry Jeudy, to me, is the best route runner that we've seen in some time. He has all the things that you look for from a polished playmaker. When you watch his skill set, he can play split end, he can play flanker, he can go in the slot. He's very, very unique and advanced in how he plays the game. And then in CeeDee Lamb is just one of those guys that, hey, man, just get the ball to him. Like, figure out a way to put the ball in his hands, because what he does with the ball in his hands is special. And so when you look at the top of the boards, it really comes down to, what kind of number one receiver do I want? Do I want the polished receiver that has played for a long time in the league, or do I want the guy that's a little more dynamic that can give me that sizzle when we look for it?
Right, and it's an interesting choice because you talk about a team like where Buffalo sits, where they've got a quarterback who needs all the weapons he can, needs guys to be as good as they can be around him. They need big catch radiuses. Yeah. Balls aren't always going to be right, pinpoint accuracy. But then you struggle to score points. So you might need the guy who can snap one off when you don't expect it.
Yeah, it's funny. So in between the two, you talk about the catch radius. CeeDee Lamb is kind of like a DeAndre Hopkins plus, meaning DeAndre Hopkins, the way that you see him, he's always contested, but he makes these remarkable one-handed catches. But the difference is CeeDee Lamb has the ability. You throw him to slant, you throw him to bubble screen, you get it to him in the open field, and he can make people miss, and he's a tough dude. Seb, you know this. Like, we've all been around guys that were punt returners that have played wide receiver. There's something about a guy that returns punts and has some open field ability. Ideally, you like those guys because when it comes to the rack, the run after catch, they're comfortable working in traffic.
Sure.
CeeDee Lamb can do some of those things.
Help us sort this out. We had a Twitter poll on this show 2 days ago, I think. Assuming the Bills are going to get a wide receiver, what's the most important characteristic? Now, at the outset, let me say you want a receiver who can do all of this, but is it, you know, having good hands? Is it speed? Is it size, length? You mentioned route running ability when you talked about Jerry Jeudy. Should we put that in the option?
It's funny because you actually have to look at your receiver core in total, and you want to kind of build it like a basketball team. So ideally, you like to have a big guy that can do the post-up work in the red zone. You like to have a burner who can take the top off the defense. We've seen what John Brown is able to do. You like to have someone that can specialize in doing all the slot work, because that's a unique skill set everyone doesn't have. And then you just like to have a guy that can do everything, and he's kind of the anchor of the passing game.
Right.
So as you evaluate the Bills' passing game, you have to figure out, okay, who's our number one? Cole Beasley does all the slot stuff.
Right.
Depending on what happens with John Brown, he can take the top off.
Yeah,
so it's just a matter of, in that it looks like I need the most polished guy, the guy that can kind of anchor the passing game that we can kind of build around.
Who are these guys you saw last night would fit that role?
You know, there are a couple guys that can kind of play the number one role. Jeudy and CeeDee Lamb can certainly play that role. When you go a little down the list, T. Higgins can do some things that you like because he's a big body. But this draft is so unique because there's so many wide receivers. If I'm Buffalo, man, I may throw darts and take two. Like I may take two and just take my chances, because the depth of this draft, like, take one sometime in day two if you don't take one in day one, and then come back in the top of day three in the fourth round. There's going to be a guy that can start for you. I mean, we saw Denzel Mims. Denzel Mims, it's kind of been off the radar. He runs the 4.3 now, and then everyone is like, oh, let me go back and look at what he did in the Big 12. And what you see in the Big 12, he was a dominant number one receiver.
Well, and also a guy that jumped off at me, we were talking about him earlier, was Claypool, Chase Claypool. I mean, there's a guy that's huge for this draft, and then he snaps off a 4.42, and it's like, whoa, who is that?
Like, there's so many guys that are like that. So you have Claypool, you have Antonio Gandy Golden, you have these. I mean, I don't know what happened. Like, Steve, when we were playing, I don't know where all these big guys came and started playing. Like, those guys used to be tight ends. Now these guys are playing wide out there. 6'4", 230
pounds. Nobody wants to play that spot in the lower levels. They want the ball,
Yeah, and so now you have these big guys that create mismatches on the outside. And it's funny because everyone gets enamored with the speed. But we did a thing at NFL.com where we tracked of the top 10 guys in receptions last year, average size, 6'2", 208, 4.55, 40 time.
Right. Hmm.
And then when it came to receiving yards, you think, oh, well, that's where 4.53 is the 40 time. So as much as we get excited about the track meet that took place last night, it's really the guys that are the skilled craftsmen that get it done.
We talked about it today just before you got on. John Ross is the guy who holds the 40 record time. He's okay.
Yeah.
But he's
hanging out
a guy.
To be in the league.
He's a guy, right?
There's a lot of guys. And look, I was more – like that, because a lot of times I'll say it, when you run fast this way, it's hard to stop. And so it's a rare skill set when you have guys that can go fast, sit down and stop and come out of breaks. And so that's why guys that are a little slower, better balance, better body control, can get in and out of routes. And if you can teach them how to run out the breaks, they can create the separation that you need. Whereas fast guys, sometimes you got
to
kind of
seven steps to stop.
Yeah,
you have instead of three.
You remember how it looked in Ricky Minicamp. It's just hard to stop. It's hard to stop. Yeah. But when you get those guys, they have to play a different role. Vertical routes, goals, post, overs, drag routes, where they don't have to slow down.
With Bucky Brooks from NFL.com, I got to change gears on you because I read this 3 weeks ago, a post that you wrote on NFL.com. NFL revolution at quarterback, a dynamic positions renaissance. Then you write, the prototype for quarterbacks has been changing in recent years. Now, it's not totally original, but you really outline how much it has changed and maybe how much we're right in the middle of it with some of the young guys, including Josh Allen.
I mean, just look at the way it's changing. Okay, so before we used to always talk about, hey, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, those are the prototype quarterbacks. We want to go in the draft and find the next guy. Well, the college game, they're not producing those guys, because what happens at the lower ranks in youth football and high school football, you take the best athletes, you put them at quarterback because he can impact the game the most, touching the ball every play. Well, then those guys go to college, and then they start doing RPOs, and they start running. And then you have college quarterbacks running for 11, 12, 1,400 yards as like a quasi-running back. Mm-hmm. Well, now they come to the National Football League, and we can either ask them to do stuff that they're incapable of, or we can just embrace them and say, hey, man, just find a way to get us first downs and do it. And as they get older, you hope that they'll begin to add some of the traditional skills. But while they're young and while it's advantageous for the team to build around them on that rookie contract, you kind of just have to let them play and make it right around them.
And that's right. And you see Pat Mahomes MVP, then the Lamar Jackson.
Yes.
Lamar, and I told some guys that we were laughing at watching the thing, he's a unicorn.
Oh,
I mean, he's a one-of-a-kind athlete. He's a 4.3 guy and a big, strong, and he can throw it.
Yes.
So he's a one-of-a-kind athlete, but he's exactly what you're talking about, a guy who, listen, he's just so good. We're going to put him behind the center. We're going to let him make some decisions, and if it all gets washed away, he's still got the ball, and they got to stop him.
And it makes it hard.
Right. They're hard to defend.
But just look at Josh Allen, because I think Josh is the biggest surprise to me. Not in terms of the success that he enjoyed, but the way that he's enjoying the success. Because when you watched him at Wyoming, he didn't run to the level that he's running in Buffalo.
Right.
But now what you see is he's a big physical quarterback. And I said this the run-up to the draft, and why I thought Buffalo may take a run at him is I felt like he was a scaled-down version of Cam Newton. Not with all the bravado, but in terms of the way that Cam played. If you go back and look at how Cam played very early in his career, Cam was a short yardage running back. He was going.
He's the best short yardage guy in the league.
10, 14 short yardage touchdowns a year. Well, now look at Josh. Josh is doing the same thing. And as they evolve, you'll have to change. And I'll say this about Josh, because what you have to do is you have to understand, here's how my quarterback plays. You can never expect Josh to be a guy that's going to complete 70% of his passes. But what he does really well is, let's throw off play action. Let's make sure we have a dominant enough running game that when he throws, he has one-on-one on the outside, and when he fakes the ball to the running back, there are bigger windows. And you talked about expanding the catch radius. Let's make sure those receivers can go and get it if it's off the mark. Cam Newton has to play the same way. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing wrong with having a quarterback like that. We just have to become comfortable knowing, hey, man, there are going to be some balls that he misses, but if he scores enough points, it doesn't matter. The team wins. The team went to the playoffs.
Yeah. Right. In this post you wrote, coaches look for scorers instead of shooters.
Because that's what it is. If we go all the way back, if we go and watch a high school game on Friday night, that quarterback is traditionally not connecting the dots and completing 70 to 75% of right. passes. You hope that he makes enough plays. He gets your team into the end zone enough where you win games. That's how NFL coaches are beginning to view the position. As much as we would like to see, hey, the consistent passer that can just sit back from the grassy knoll and throw it, it's hard to find those guys. So yeah. You got to play with what you have.
I said this earlier in the show, too, that, you know, and I always give the finger quotes, that the prototypical quarterback is kind of obsolete now. You don't have Peyton Mannings and Tom Brady's anymore, although they're still around. The league's offensive coordinators are now these really creative, innovative, weird play, and they're weird plays yes. that are drawn up now. It yes. used to be it just yes. happened, right, by happenstance. Yeah. Now they're drawing that stuff up.
Because the way that we came into the league, you have to fit our system. This is
That's
what
right.
we do.
That's right.
You need to hurry up and learn it. And when you learn it, you will play. Well, now it's, oh, what do you do? Okay, mm-hmm. what playbook did you have at college? Well, give me that playbook. I'm going to see how I can work this with our right. stuff, and we'll blend it.
It's a much better way to do it.
Yeah, if you're going to play the young players, then you have to play them. Like, you can't sit them out for a year or 2 years and wait for them to develop.
It's an interesting, too. If you're going to play young players, which I think every team does now because of the economics of the league, right, you get them on their rookie contract. So if is this an economic evolution as much as it is a talent evolution?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both, because as much as we talk about the quarterback and how we have to help them, well, guess what? All the guys on the perimeter have also played in those same systems. Mm-hmm. So when you ask those guys to run intricate routes with these post-snap reads and all, they're looking at you like, what? Mm-hmm. These elaborate play calls, even though in the red gun we didn't have those things.
Right.
But if you go to West Coast systems and you say, hey, red right, 22, scat Hank, when they're walking out the hall, they're like, I've never heard it verbally right. spit to me. I've spent all my life from youth ball, high school, looking at the sideline and walking to my position. So now not only are you adjusting your offense to the quarterback, but you're also adjusting to the guys who are playing around him. You have to help everybody get up to speed and play in a simple fashion.
Right. Hey, Bucky, you got a lot of work today. Thanks for carving out some time for us.
We
We're out of here today, so you enjoy the rest of the time.
Yeah, Jay won't bug you anymore, I promise. Bucky Brooks, former Bills draft pick, now analyst for NFL.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.